Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Good morning. This morning's gospel is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be conceived and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the book of God.
Good morning, church. Sometimes life brings us unexpected moments, things that we never planned for or imagined. These surprises can touch every part of our lives, whether it's related to our work, family, health, or something impacting a loved one. Sometimes these unexpected moments are pleasant surprises, bringing joy and fulfillment. But other times, they are unpleasant and challenging, leaving us feeling shaken or uncertain. In my own life, I've experienced many unexpected situations. Suddenly moving to Australia was something Pedro and I had never planned. It was a significant and unforeseen change that turned our lives in a completely new direction. In 2016, Pedro and I were accepted to move to the United States and live there. We had good friends and some connections with mission organizations with plans to serve the church once we arrived. This was our vision for the future. But God had a different plan for us. At the time, we couldn't understand why. The election of a new U.S. president, Donald Trump, changed everything, and we were forced to remain in an uncertain situation in Turkey for more years with no hope for the future. In 2019, something unexpected happened. We were accepted to move to Australia, even though we had no plan to go there and no hope of being approved. Imagine how hard it was to trust in such a situation, facing an unclear and uncertain future. It was a challenging time, and it was also peaceful in its own way, because we had witnessed God's faithfulness in our lives so many times before. He had always provided for us, and there was no other option but to submit ourselves to His plan. God worked in our situation and gave us peace through His Holy Spirit as we waited. This peace was also strengthened by the encouragement and support of the other Christians who constantly encouraged us. We've all faced moments like this at some points in our lives. Times when the future seems uncertain and peace feels out of reach. But God's faithfulness remains steadfast even in the midst of uncertainty. Last week, we heard the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a married couple who was righteous in the sight of God, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. An angel unexpectedly appeared to Zechariah. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel Gabriel gave him a message that will change the course of Elizabeth and Zechariah's life, and not just their lives, but Israel's life and our lives. When the angel told Zechariah, "Your wife bears a son," Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? How is this possible? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." Through this announcement of John the Baptist's birth, God's peace began to break through. John would be the one who prepared the way for the Lord to turn people's heart back to God's way. In today's reading, we see the angel Gabriel on his second mission. 6 months after appearing to Zechariah, Gabriel appears to Mary this time, a young girl living in a small and humble town called Nazareth in Galilee. Nazareth was not a place of significance or prestige. In fact, in John chapter 1, 46, Nathanael famously asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It was in this humble and unremarkable place that God chose to reveal His greatest work of salvation. Mary was engaged to Joseph, and her life likely seemed ordinary and predictable up to that moment. But everything was about to change in ways she could never have expected or imagined. The culture and social situation for women during that time was so different from now, especially in the context of marriage and engagement. Girls in Mary's time would usually marry at a very young age. During their engagement period, which was legally binding, the couple could not live together until they got married. Mary was a young, inexperienced, unmarried, and a virgin girl hoping to marry her fiancé Joseph, a descendant of David. I imagine Mary's expectation for her life was to marry Joseph and have a normal life and a typical family. But God had a different plan for her, one that was completely unexpected and beyond anything she could have imagined. It was a divine interruption that challenged her understanding and called her to trust in His perfect peace. In verse 28 says, "The angel went to Mary and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" The phrase "highly favored" is a special and significant term, especially considering Mary's humble background. The term "highly favored" is not a casual compliment. It is a powerful statement. In different Bible translations, this phrase is expressed as "only favored" or "highly favored," while some translate it as "truly blessed." However, the Greek word used here, keteratomin, carries an even deeper meaning. It signifies "you who have been graced," or "you who are full of grace." This implies a unique divine favor that Mary received. Gabriel's greeting reveals a key aspect of the divine interruption Mary was about to experience. She was being chosen not because of her own merit, but because God had set her apart for a task that would change the course of history. This grace was not simply for Mary's personal benefit. It was for the unfolding of God's great plan for the world. As we continue reading in verse 31 and 32, Gabriel tells Mary that she will conceive and give birth to a son, and she is to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This announcement sets the stage for the momentous, life-altering decision that Mary would have to make. Would she trust in God's plan and accept his invitation to be part of his extraordinary purpose? Gabriel didn't simply tell Mary, "You are going to have a baby boy and you can name him whatever you like." Instead, he gave her a specific name, Jesus, Yeshua, which means "the Lord is salvation," or "Yahweh saves." You remember last week the importance of name in Hebrew spirituality. Zechariah meant "God has remembered again," and John's name, which meant "God is gracious." God's promises of grace were being remembered in the world, and his plan was being prepared. And so the baby Jesus, "the Lord is salvation," is now the final piece in the plan. The God who remembers will be gracious to the world and bring salvation in Jesus Christ. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This announcement speaks not only to the humanity of Jesus, but also to his divinity. Jesus will be a human child, but unlike any other human. He will be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, and his kingdom will never end. His kingdom will not be limited to just a certain area or a part of the world. It will extend over all creation. He will be the ruler of the entire earth, the King of kings, and the sovereign Lord of all nations. His reign will be one of justice, peace, and eternal glory, surpassing every earthly power and authority. His kingdom will have no end, and his rule will bring restoration and hope to the world. This is a powerful declaration of who Jesus is. Fully human, yet fully divine, and his reign will be eternal. This was the Savior and Redeemer prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament, the one who would bring salvation and peace to the earth. The Messiah's coming had long been prophesied as the arrival of the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 declares, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Through Jesus, God was not only saving his people from their sins, but also restoring the peace that had been lost in a broken world. This was no ordinary birth announcement. It was the proclamation of God's plan to bring salvation and true peace to all humanity. Mary was so surprised by the angel's word. She was an unmarried virgin and had never been with any man before. In verse 34, she asked, "How will this be? How is this possible?" The question feels very familiar to me, not just because we see it reflected by others in the Bible, but because I often find myself asking God the same thing. How will this be? How is this possible? When I had to leave my home country, Iran, I cried out to God asking, "How is this possible? How can I live in another country without knowing the language or the culture? And how can I start a new life from nothing?" It's a natural response when we are confronted with something beyond our understanding or control. We see this question mirrored in the lives of people like Abraham and Sarah, who wondered how they could have a child in their old age. And Moses, who doubted his ability to lead God's people out of Egypt. In moments of difficulty and uncertainty, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by what seems impossible. Yet Mary's story teaches us that peace comes when we trust in God who works beyond our understanding. Charles Spurgeon said, We cannot always trace God's hand, but we can always trust God's heart. Trusting in God's heart allows us to find peace, even when the path ahead is unclear. It's knowing that he loves us more than we can comprehend and would not allow something that will prevent Jesus being our Savior and the Savior of the world. Corrie ten Boom is a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, helped hide Jewish people during the Holocaust. Her story is one of profound faith, trust, and peace in God amidst unimaginable suffering. During World War II, Corrie and her family were arrested for their actions and sent to prison. In the prison, Corrie experienced horrific conditions, cruelty, and loss of her sister Betsy. But even in such darkness, she clung to her faith in God and his promises. One of Corey's famous quote is, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." Despite the fear and uncertainty she faced, Corey found peace by trusting in God's heart shown in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate proof of God's love and salvation. Corey and her sister smuggled a Bible into the camp and read it with other prisoners, sharing the hope and peace found in God's word. Betsy often reminded her, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Corey's life is a testament to how trusting in God's presence, immersing ourselves in His world, and beyond His call and bring peace, even in the most challenging and fearful circumstances. After the war, Corey traveled the world as a speaker, sharing the message of forgiveness, peace, and trust in God. In verse 38, Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." This is the peace we can embrace, not the absence of questions, but the assurance that God's plan is perfect and He is with us through every uncertainty. Mary's response to the angel, despite her initial doubt, was ultimately one of surrender to the loving heart of God for her and for the world, and it brought her peace. I've realized and experienced that peace doesn't mean having all the answers or never feeling doubt. Instead, it's about surrendering to God's will, even when I don't fully understand it. Trusting in God's promises doesn't erase challenges, but it brings a deep assurance that His plans are always good, that He is with us in every moment of uncertainty, and that His glory and His kingdom will never fail. God is fully invested in bringing His plan of salvation to pass with all that He is. In this story, we see that investment. We see God the Father sending His angel. We see the Holy Spirit as the agent of the promise. And then the extraordinary and miraculous conception of Christ Jesus. We also see Mary and Joseph, who was descended from King David, playing significant role in this divine story, which had been unfolding for centuries, guided and sustained by God through His people. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and shared the astonishing news that she would bear the Son of God, she knew that if God was so invested in this plan, she could respond with humility and complete surrender. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." This response is a powerful example of trusting in God's plan, even when it seems beyond understanding. Just as Mary trusted in God's plan despite her fear and uncertainty, we are invited to trust God, especially in situations where peace feels out of reach. It's a challenge to us that peace often comes through obedience. Following God's word and submitting to His will isn't always easy, but it is essential. Mary chose to obey, saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Her obedience led to the unfolding of God's divine plan. In the same way, when we read the scripture, we are called to put it into action in our lives. Obedience may challenge us, but it is also brings a deep sense of peace as we align ourselves with God's purposes. Reading the scriptures really helps to guide our obedience and then our peace. I don't know how you're finding your time reading the Bible in this busy season, but maybe if you can try and find a few moments to absorb God's word, you'll find that peace sneak in. God's word is living and active, as we read in Hebrews 4:12. When we read His promises and the stories of His faithfulness, our hearts are encouraged and strengthened. The Bible reminds us that God's love and power are unchanging, and His word provides guidance in our struggles. Finally, the angel's word to Mary, "The Lord is with you," reminds us of a profound truth. God is always with us. Peace brings when we recognize His presence in our lives and in moments of fear, doubt, surprise, or uncertainty. We could hold on to the assurance that God is near, walking with us through every challenges. In this Advent season, as we anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth, we are reminded that the peace of God accompanies His grace. Through Mary's example, we see that true peace comes from trusting in God's plan and surrendering to His will, even when life feels uncertain or overwhelming. Jesus offers us His peace when everything around us feels broken. He is able to bring light in the darkest moment. Advent invites us to reflect on the Prince of Peace, who brings hope, reconciliation, and rest for our souls. God's peace is real, and it has the power to transform our hearts and our lives. In just a few moments, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. As we approach this table, we are invited to trust in peace that Jesus offers through His body and blood. This table represents the ultimate act of grace, where God made the impossible possible through the sacrifice of His Son. Now I would like to invite you to take a moment of silence to reflect on God's peace. Think about the areas in your life where you need to trust in His timing and His peace. Bring them to the Lord. Remember those who you know and they need to receive God's peace. those who need to be transformed by it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace you offer through Jesus, just as you brought peace to Mary through the angel's message. Help us trust in your promises, knowing that nothing is impossible with you. Lord God, fill our hearts with your peace. Lord God, fill our hearts with your presence. And Lord God, fill our hearts with your peace and peace and peace. Amen.